Good morning.
How are you guys doing today? The guys in the back trusted me to turn on the switch on the microphone myself, which apparently they don't trust Dave to do. And I almost just messed it up, so sorry about that. Hopefully no one noticed, and I just blew up my own spot because I told you, so all right. Before I start, I want to apologize. I have a little bit of throat thing going on. It's the time of the season where I spend a lot of quality time with my friends Claire and Ben. If you don't know what I'm talking about Claritin and Benadryl. So, got some allergies going on. So, sorry about that. I'll try not to cough directly into the microphone. I think you would all appreciate that, and whoever uses this microphone next would probably appreciate that too. All right. So, I gotta say, it's a lot brighter up here than it is downstairs. So, that's good. It's nice to see all of your shiny, happy faces this morning, and even the faces that aren't shiny and aren't quite as happy. We'll get there. We'll get there. All right, so if you notice, my wife and my son aren't here with me today. I'm flying solo. I'm batching it up, and I promise that is not any sort of like judgment on the sermon that's about to come. We were visiting family in Chicago yesterday, so I got to spend some time up there. We went to the lake. I saw a security guard from a restaurant punch a guy in the neck. And it was all of like maybe 10:30 or 11 in the morning when that happened. So pretty big day for us. I was excited about that. So this weekend we were in Chicago with the hustle and bustle. And then next weekend our family is going to go to Mount Sterling, which is where I was born and raised and where we lived before we came here. And there's all of maybe 2,000 people in Mount Sterling. So you can imagine just how exciting that will be. I hope I see two people get punched in the neck by security guards. And since the town's so small, I'm going to know both people that get punched and the security guard. It's going to be awesome. All right, that has nothing to do with anything I'm talking about today. But thanks for indulging me. All right, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Luke chapter 10. If you don't have your Bible, there's one on a seat or under a seat near you. So there's really no excuses. And if you have your phone and you have the Bible app, I know you're really setting your fantasy football lineup, but you can go ahead and pull that out. All right, we're going to start in verse 38. And since I told you to get your Bibles, I should probably get mine. So Luke 10, verse 38, and we're talking about Mary and Martha. And it says, "Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her.'" All right, so when we start in verse 38, we can see something big is happening. Jesus is coming to town. And in these days, when Jesus came, he didn't just come alone. He came with a group of followers. So this is a big deal because people wanted to hear what Jesus had to say, and the crowds would get bigger and bigger. So when Martha offers her house, she thinks, "I've got to prepare. I've got to get ready for guests." And when we have guests at our house, what kind of things do we do? I know that when we have guests at our house, we've got to prep, we've got to cook, we've got to clean, and somebody has to make sure that the couch stays warm. So I'm not going to say who does what, but I'm kidding. We chip in. We work together. It's marriage. We're great. But Isaiah, on the other hand, he's a real big slacker. It's ridiculous. He'll barely even pick up his toys. He's really got to start pulling his weight. And I can say this because he's not here today. So when you see him, you tell him he needs to start pulling his weight around the house. All 30 pounds of it. All right. So it's a big deal because Jesus is coming, but if we take a little bit closer look, in verse 38, it doesn't just say that Jesus is coming by himself. It says, now as they went on their way. And who exactly is this way, or they, that are on their way? That's a rhyme. We're not exactly sure, but if we look back just a little bit further into Luke chapter 9, we can see that there's this group of people following Jesus that comes together, and they sit and they listen to him talk, and they forget to bring their lunch, and that is when Jesus feeds the 5,000 men, not to mention the women and the children that are gathered there with them. So, this happens before Jesus comes to Martha's house. So if you're Martha, last time Jesus had a big get-together, there's like 5,000 people. So if you think about that, that's a lot to get ready for. I'm not saying there's going to be 5,000 people at Martha's house, but it's not just Jesus coming for a dinner party. There's other people coming along. So we can begin to understand a little bit of why Martha's just freaking out. Like her house, it's got to get ready. She's got all this stuff to do. She prides herself on keeping a good home and being, you know, Susie homemaker. And she's counting on her sister to help her. But where do we find Mary in the story? Is Mary right there in the kitchen with her? Or is she taking the garbage out back? No. And I just, as a side note, taking the garbage out is also a very good way to set your fantasy football score or lineup. If you need like 2-3 minutes, Brandy's not here, so I can tell you these secrets of mine, all right? If you need 2-3 extra minutes, and then you can just say, oh, I was checking the weather. I wanted to make sure it wasn't going to rain. Someone groaned, so I'm telling you these secrets so you know, guys. And women, just forget this part, okay? It doesn't matter. It wasn't actually said. Okay, so we don't find Mary helping her sister. We find her sitting at Jesus' feet. And if we take a look at this for just a second, there, I can look around here and I can see some people that work really hard. And just this morning, I was talking to Lynn, and he told me how I make him feel small. And I was thinking, like, Lynn kind of makes me feel small. Because I look at him, he's, you know, a senior member of, can I say senior? Is that okay? He's a senior member of our church here. And he's one of the hardest working people I've ever met. And he knows, he's forgotten more things about more stuff than I could hope to know. And just, there's so many people that all of us can think of that are hardworking and that take pride in their work. And when you're someone like that and you see people not chipping in the way you think that they should, that's something that would, I'm assuming that's something that would make you a little upset, a little angry. And to add to that even more, Martha sees her sister slacking. And that's something that I can relate to a little bit more, because I can remember being a kid, or even sometimes as an adult, like sometimes you feel like you're doing your fair share or more than your fair share, and you just wonder, like, what exactly are my sisters doing, if you have sisters, which I do, and why aren't they chipping in the way they should? So I can relate to what Mary's feeling in this. I can relate to what Martha's feeling in this, but Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, and Martha's working away. And Martha, I assume that she's letting this kind of simmer inside of her a little bit. She wants to hold back. There's guests in her house. Jesus is there, but eventually she's got to let it out, all right? She can't hold that in forever, so she just decides she's going to confront Mary right then and there, and she's not going to pull Mary off to the side and have a nice sisterly chat, and she's not going to have a quality, you know, heart-to-heart between two sisters. She decides that she's going to let loose in front of Jesus and in front of the guests and just drop the hammer. Lord, don't you care? My sister isn't helping me. She is not doing her fair share. And I would assume that Martha thinks in that moment, Jesus is going to come to my side. He's going to agree with me. He's going to say, Martha is right. Mary, you need to get up. You need to help. You have guests in your house and you're just sitting here like a bum. You need to get up and do something. But what does Jesus say? And who does Jesus address? He doesn't say anything to Mary. He talks to Martha. And not only does he talk to Martha, but he says, Martha, Martha. And he says her name twice. And in my experience, when someone says your name twice, it means business. So when Jesus says, Martha, Martha, something serious is about to happen. Now, if he would have said, Martha, 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 it might have meant that he was Jane Brady with a lisp, or maybe after she had bit her tongue. Am I getting that reference right? The Brady Bunch? It's been a while. All right. But, well, we can look at just the way that people say our names and the way that Jesus says Martha's name, and we can learn something from that. So if someone calls you the wrong name, either they're confused or maybe they're flustered, like if you get like a series of wrong names. So for me, if I was called like Carrie, Rachel, Muffin, Jesse, Muffin was not a sister's name. Muffin was my dog's name. All right, I'm just throwing it out there. But if you get that series of wrong names before they get to the right name, it's because someone's flustered. Or if you get the first and the middle name, so if I heard Jesse Flacco, just kidding. Flacco's not my middle name. If that's a really bad joke from prayer a couple weeks ago. So for like the few of you that were there, you understand that, and everybody else is just confused. My middle name's actually Michael. So if I heard Jesse Michael, I knew I was probably in trouble. And if I heard Jesse Michael Patton, either I was graduating high school or I was really in for it. And I only graduated high school once, so anytime I heard that, I knew it was time to hide out or something. But this was before I had a smartphone, so there was no setting of the fantasy football lineup at that time to avoid it. So I just had to face facts. But when your name is repeated, that's usually associated with disappointment. And it's usually accompanied by just a shaking of the head. So Martha, Martha. And why was Jesus disappointed by Martha? Because Martha was trying her best. She was trying to do what she thought was right, but she lost sight of what was important. She wanted to be a good host and all that goes along with that. And that is important. It's good to be a good host and to welcome guests. But in this situation, what was most important? Or actually, when Jesus is in your home, what's the only important thing? And that's Jesus. When we look at this, we might wonder, what exactly does this all mean for us? Because Jesus isn't going to be coming over for lunch today. Jesus isn't going to see us in a tree like Zacchaeus and tell us to come down. He's not going to stop by while he's passing through town. But what I think that this can mean for us is, I think that all of us, in our own ways, are just a bunch of Marthas. And we're living in a world full of Marthas. And when I look at my own life, I'm a busy person. I've got a lot going on. I have things that I do are important. And if you're looking at your own life, if you have a job, or you're in school, or you have a spouse, or friends, or family, if you have any of those things, you're a busy person. And a lot of us have more than one of those things in our life. We have a lot of stuff going on. And in a lot of ways, we think that this is a good thing. We look at our lives and we try to stay busy. We want to have stuff going on. We want to be as busy as possible. We want to look busy. We want to feel busy. We want to feel like we've accomplished something. But a lot of times, this busyness is really just a distraction. And it keeps us from focusing on what we really need to focus on. I recently joined Anytime Fitness because I decided to come out of a lengthy 10-year retirement from exercise. I instantly regretted that decision. But the reason I joined Anytime Fitness is because, as the name suggests, you can go anytime. So I like to go as late as possible when hopefully there is no one else around, because I don't want people to watch me exercise. That's weird. And people don't want to watch me exercise. And if they do, you're weird. So I go to Anytime Fitness, and I wait till everybody in the house is in bed, and then I sneak away quietly to hate my life for the next hour and a half. But while I'm there, I can't help but notice that, like, on the treadmill, they have a TV, which is nice. That's a nice distraction from what you're doing. But I don't always want to watch TV. Sometimes I want to watch TV and I want to listen to music. So I, of course, take my headphones along. And then sometimes I decided, you know, I've got this time. Maybe instead of just listening to music, I could do something educational, like listen to a podcast. So I'll listen to some podcasts. But while I'm watching TV on mute with the closed captions and listening to a podcast, I decide, you know what this moment really needs is some music. And luckily for me, they have this thing called Rockbot at Anytime Fitness where they play music over the speakers, and you can download an app on your smartphone, and you can request songs that they play, and their song choice is kind of lacking, but that's besides the point. The point is, I can run on a tread... Hold on, let me back up. I can walk brisk... Hold on. I can move at a reasonable pace on a treadmill while watching a TV on mute, reading the words across the screen while listening to a podcast in one ear with the other ear unplugged so I can hear the music that I just requested over... I'm not joking. I do this, okay? I do all of these things. And the reason I do this is because I'm looking for a distraction. I don't want to be the guy that's just there running on the treadmill. Like, that's scary, all right? That's scary for all of us because it's running on a treadmill. But these distractions are just another thing that we put in our lives that keep us from focusing on what's really important. And these distractions are just another thing that turn us into a Martha. Distractions are something that we use to keep us from focusing on what's really important, what really matters, what can really make a difference. And how do we use our distractions? Why do we want to be distracted? I think a big part of this is really, at least for me, I'm just afraid of the quiet, just like I'm afraid to run on the tread. Sorry, I did it again. I'm afraid to moderately walk on the treadmill. I'm also afraid of just quietness in my life in general. Just 3 weeks ago on Labor Day weekend, Brandy's brother and his wife and their daughter came up to visit. And if you're keeping score in your seats, that's 2 weekends this month that I spent time with in-laws. So I'm not saying that I deserve a prize, but if someone wanted to whisper that in Brandy's ear, actually don't, because she'll know it came from me and I'll be in trouble. But Labor Day weekend, on Sunday morning, we all woke up very, very early. And this wasn't intentional. It was because for some reason, our neighborhood decided it would be cool to shut the power off for a couple hours. And they say it wasn't intentional, but I feel like it was a mean trick played by somebody, because when the power goes out, that means everything goes out. And that's, you know, anything you can think of. I can't tell you how many times I walked over to a light switch and tried to turn it on, and every time I'm like, duh, the power's out. Oh, maybe I'll try the other switch. Nope, it's out too. And when this first happened, we all woke up because in our house, we like to sleep in peace and quiet. And that means that Isaiah has a noise machine, and Brandy has a noise machine, and I have a CPAP for sleep apnea. So really, it's a house full of static and Darth Vader's heavy breathing. That is the sound of our house at sleepy time. And then when the power went out, there was nothing. There was just silence. And in that silence, eventually it stops becoming silence because you can hear things in the background. And you can hear the neighbor that for some reason decides it's cool to work on his motorcycle at 7 in the morning on a Sunday. I'm not going to say anything about it to him because he's the kind of guy that has a motorcycle and looks like he owns a motorcycle. And I don't want to judge a book by its cover, but I feel like in a fight, I would be the guy getting punched in the neck and he would be the security guard, if you know what I'm saying. He's scary. He's short, so he can only reach my neck, but he's scary. All right, so the sound that we could hear when there was no sound around was just every little thing that was around us. So the neighbor out working on his motorcycle, the birds. Ultimately, it turned into kids crying. But when we removed the distractions and the things that become our normal and the things that, because we're used to them, they've blended into the background and they've blocked everything else out, and that is what we think of as peace and quiet. When we remove those things, we can start to hear what's actually happening in the background. And in our lives, we have these things that add noise and these distractions and this busyness, and it keeps us from seeing what's actually going on. And it turns us from being merry and being in tune with what God has for us and what Jesus is saying to us, and it turns us into Martha, where we're running around trying to make sure we can get everything done that needs done, and we're getting frustrated that no one else is on our page, and no one else is doing what we think is important. And sometimes I think that in life we get more interested in maintenance than in ministry. And we're more interested in maintaining our lives and the way that we go about things than we are in ministering and reaching out to others. And I just think sometimes it's easier to not rock the boat, not be uncomfortable, than it is to pull people into the lifeboat and to reach out a helping hand and to be there for someone. I recently heard a story about the Titanic. I don't know if you guys are familiar, but the Titanic was a really large boat, and Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet were on it, and it hit an iceberg, I think. I don't know. I'm a little fuzzy on the details. Maybe somebody can fill me in later. But eventually, the boat started to sink, and the story I heard was, first of all, there weren't enough lifeboats on the boat for everyone because they thought the ship is unsinkable, and then it sunk on the first voyage, which figures. But when they started putting people on the lifeboat, the people that thought that they were important because they had wealth or status, they started getting on the lifeboats first. And they didn't want to be crowded while they were getting on a lifeboat. So some of the lifeboats started taking off before they were at full capacity. And instead of being uncomfortable and reaching out and helping someone in need, these people got on a boat and they started to row away. And eventually they realized this is a terrible idea. So they tried to go back and help people, but it was too late, and they weren't able to save as many lives as they could have because they waited too long because they were worried about being uncomfortable. And this worries me because I don't want to be like this. I don't want to be worried about how comfortable I am at the cost of helping others. I don't want to be a church that's more worried about maintaining the status quo than it is about helping others and reaching out. I don't want to be a little ways down the road and look back and think, I really missed a lot of opportunities where I could have reached out to someone. I could have said something. I could have given a helping hand. I could have shared the love of Jesus with someone and I missed it. I don't want to be like that. I don't think if we really look at ourselves, any of us wants to be like that. I think we all need to do better, and we should all want to do better. So that brings us to a point where we need to talk about what we can do, because there's a lot of things in the world that seem like huge problems, huge issues that I'm just one guy. I can't tackle these issues. We're just one small church in the middle of town. We can't face these things head on. But I think that we can start to make those changes. We can start to make a difference. And that's a big reason why I'm excited about the Abundant Life Ministry that Scott and Lori have been sharing with us about, because that's one way where I can see that we can have an impact on, you know, a bigger issue, something that's bigger than us, where we can have ministry outside of these walls and actually in our community, and we can do something that makes people's lives better. And hopefully, as part of that, we can point them to Christ as well, because there's a lot of hurt and broken people around us, and we need to be doing something. We need to be willing to step away from our distractions and our busyness and realize that there's something better that we can be doing. So if you take your Bibles once again, and we look at Luke 11, which is right after Luke 10. In this, we can see that Jesus, right after he meets with Mary and Martha, the next thing that it's talked about is instructions on prayer. And while we're talking about what can we do, I don't think that anything in life should be decided on without some time spent in prayer and some time spent in reflection. I think that it's fitting that right after we see this account of Martha being distracted and burdened by all of this stuff that she thought was important, we go right into a time of Jesus teaching us how to pray. And I think that it would be a good practice for us to start modeling some of these things that are listed in this prayer in Luke 11. And we're all familiar with the Lord's Prayer and what goes along with that. But if we really look at it, I think that this is something that we would all agree with, that God's name should be holy, and that we want God's kingdom to come, and that we need God's provision in our life, and that we need not only God's forgiveness, but we need God to give us the ability to forgive. And this is our challenge as we move forward and as we eventually leave this place today. And not only is this our challenge, but this is what I believe that God has called us to. If we're here and we call ourselves Christians, these are the things that I know that I need to continually be reminded of and continually work on. So this is our challenge and our call. And it's easy to say that, but sometimes we need an example, and we need something to be able to follow. And Ben shared a little bit of this this morning beforehand. We can see an example of this in action and what this looks like. If we go a little bit before the story of Mary and Martha, back in Luke 10, and we have the parable of the Good Samaritan. And this is a parable that we're all familiar with, and I'm not gonna go into it in depth today, but we have religious people that follow the word and people that follow after God, yet when they're confronted with a man lying in the street after he's been beaten and robbed, they just pass him by. And then a Samaritan, who at the time was looked at as, you know, just not as good as the Jewish people, not important. Yet when he saw someone hurt and broken, his response was to help and to do whatever he could and to go above and beyond what was expected. So we have this contrast of the people that were holy and they thought that they were doing the right thing, and they didn't have time to help this guy because they were hurrying to get to the synagogue or hurrying to get to where they needed to be. And then you have a guy who, if you looked at the Samaritan from the outside, he didn't have a whole lot going on. Probably he was just a regular guy and someone that people would look down on, but he did a better job of modeling what God's love is like than the people that would call themselves God's people. So as we get ready to leave here today, as I said before, Jesus isn't coming to your house for lunch today, but he did come to earth for us. And he did this to cover our sins and to wipe away any record of our wrongs and to claim victory over death. And something like that not only needs to be shared, but it deserves to be shared. And that's why we're here, and that's why we come here every Sunday. And my hope, my prayer, and my challenge for you is that we can go from here today and we can start to look for ways to put this in motion. And I know that our lives are busy, and I know that our lives are filled with distractions, but my prayer would be that we're able to begin to block out some of the noise, and we're able to ignore some of the distractions, and we're able to put aside the busyness. We take time to pray, and we take time in silence to be able to hear what's really going on around us. And then we're no longer burdened by busyness or distracted by the noise, but instead we're a people that talk to God, that listen to God, and listen to those around us. So as we, I'm going to close in prayer, and the band is going to come play for us again. I just want to end with one brief little, it's four words, I just counted it, one brief little challenge as we go, and that's don't be a Martha. Don't be so caught up in making sure that you have things that look the right way or have things that are in their perfect place that you spend all your time doing that instead of reaching out to others or instead of fully embracing the presence of Christ in your life. But instead, it's okay if things are a mess. You don't have to be a perfect person to be able to share Jesus with others. You don't have to have all of your ducks in a row before you can tell people the change that Christ has made in your life. Because even a crooked stick can make a straight line. And even imperfect people can point to our perfect Savior. So, as I close, just remember, don't be a Martha. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for just this time to spend together in your house and to share the word together. Lord, I thank you for the people here and the family that Jacob's Well is. And I just pray that you would give us open eyes to the people around us and open ears to hear the situations around us and open hearts willing to share and willing to be vulnerable for those around us. Lord, we love you. We love Jesus. Thank you for giving him in our place. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.